turn to Psalms 119 again. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I tell you what, I'm going to back up to verse 33 and read down through 40, and then we're going to look at verses 41 down through 48, and we'll read them as we go along this evening. The Bible says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." We've been looking at Psalms 119 for several weeks, and we know that the Psalms 119 is about the Word of God. It's about the importance of the Word of God in our lives, and not to ours only, but to people down through all the ages. I mean, ever since we've had a Bible, and we find the psalmist here as he pins this down, he realizes the importance of the Word of God and what the Word of God can do for him. Psalm 41 through 48, we're going to look at that this evening, and I want to look at it under the thought of light from God's Word. Light from God's Word. And we'll find here the psalmist knew that everyone didn't share his trust in the Word of God, and that's where we're at today. I mean, you might as well get ready and realize that everyone doesn't share the trust that you and I have in the Word of God. I believe this Bible is trustworthy. I believe it's trustworthy to order our lives by. I think it's trustworthy to guide our children by and to bring them up under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and to try to get them to get a hold of the fact how important the Word of God is in their lives. And the main thought, I believe, that runs through these verses is a deep sense of reverence for who God is and what God's presence is like. It tells us what we are to be in the light of God's presence. And I believe another thing that we see is that the psalmist desires to be a faithful witness for the Lord and to give a strong testimony with the truth of God's Word. And that's the only way we're going to ever be what we should be, is to get in this Bible, let this Bible get in us, and let it change us, and to put this Bible in us that others might see the faith that we really have and that our faith is real. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You'll never grow in grace, and your faith will never grow if you don't get in this Bible and you don't get to the point and place where you trust it and trust it to lead you, trust it for the answers that we need in life. And I'm going to give you three simple things real quick this evening, and we won't linger a long time tonight, but the first thing we see here is the prayer of the psalmist in verses 41 to 42. We see that he desires he wants to experience the protection of God's word there in verse 41. He said, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now, the psalmist knows he needs God's protection through the mercies of God. And the Bible gives many examples, I believe, of God's mercy to others. And if you'll notice, and everybody that I read after on this passage of Scripture, they kept referring to the fact that that's mercies is in the plural. It's not in the singular. It's let thy mercies come also. And he goes on and expounds on what it do, even thy salvation according to thy word. And we see that the Bible gives examples of God's mercy to others all down through the Word of God. As you look and you read and you study, and you'll see the mercies of God and every page of this book as you look and you see how God dealt with man and how God desired to fellowship with man and how he reaches out to man. And we find, first of all, for one person that we see that God's mercies were reaching out to was Abraham, because he was rescued from darkness in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham was a pagan living in a pagan land, and if you go over and read the book of Genesis, there in chapter 12, you'll find where God called Abraham out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he wanted to, he was going to use Abraham, that all the seed, his seed would be blessed down through the years, and we've all been blessed because of Abraham, the mercies that God showed unto him and bringing him out of a pagan land. Hey, that's where we were. We were all in darkness. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are blind, who are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Hey, we all had blinded minds had it not been for the mercies of God. Hey, the opportunities that we had to trust Christ as our Savior and to experience His great salvation in our lives. And we realize that along with the psalmist, hey, we need to experience the protection of God's Word. And God has been merciful to individuals all down through the years. You can think of God's mercies to Jonah when he began to run. When he was in the belly of the whale, he called it the belly of hell. I mean, he was in a place of darkness. He was in a place of judgment where God had told him to do one thing. He ran and he wanted to do his own thing. He hated those Ninevites. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted God to bring judgment upon them. And we find that he began to run, and he went down to Joppa. He boarded a ship, and he went down into the ship. And the next thing you know, he was thrown overboard when he told the mariners that they could throw him over. They were experiencing that storm and the danger that they was in because of his disobedience. But yet, because even though he had been disobedient, he ran, and he didn't want to do what God told him to do. We find that God showed him mercy. And boy, I'm glad we serve a merciful God. And the mercies that you and I have experienced in our own lives, we could all testify to the fact of what God has done in our lives. And so we see God's mercies that's been extended to individuals all down through the Word of God. And you just have to say that God is a God of mercies this afternoon. Paul on the road to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9, we know the story of how he was consenting unto the death of Stephen there. And the Bible tells us that they laid their clothes at a young man's feet by the name of Saul. And we know the story how during the midday that Jesus spoke to him, and he struck him down with the bright light, and the voice that he said to Paul, he says, "Saul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And we know and see the extent of God's mercy in the Apostle Paul's life. And I've said this a lot of times, the Apostle Paul, hey, what he was doing, he thought he was doing the right thing. Hey, he had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Hey, but the God of glory looked down. He seen Saul, and he had mercy upon him. And he said, I can take Saul, and I can make something out of him. I can use him in my work and turn that zeal around, hey, that he has, and see great things take place. And so we see that God is a God of mercy. So the prayer of the psalmist was experience the protection of God's Word. Hey, that's what we need today. Hey, that's what this land needs today. As we look around, we see all the wrong things that's going on, the wickedness on every hand, the things that people are embracing that the Bible is specifically against. And we just have to say that God has been merciful to our nation. Hey, he's been merciful to this whole world. If you look at the whole totality of everything, and you can see the mercies of God all around us. And And it's just by the grace and the mercy of God that we're not consumed. And not only the prayer of the psalmist was to experience the protection of God's word there in verse 41, hey, but to exercise the power of God's word there in verse 42. He says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Hey, that word reproaches there has the idea of contempt and mockery. And the wisdom of this world is opposed to the wisdom of God's word. Hey, young people going to college, they're going to have to make a decision and a choice, hey, between God and man. Hey, that's what this world wants to do. It wants to destroy the faith of young men and women today. And we find that Satan has always been wanting to shed doubt upon God's word, even from the very beginning. When he went into the Garden of Eden there, we find that Satan attacked the word of God in the Garden of Eden. And he's still attacking God's word today. I mean, down through the years, we've had all these versions, and people question what Bible is the right Bible, what Bible really contains the Word of God. And a lot of times, people will mock and they'll show contempt for Christians and for their belief in this Bible and God's Word and try to shed doubt upon it. But I'm glad, hey, that we can get a hold of the fact, and we'll never be what God wants us to be and gain the light from God's word that we need to until we get it settled in our mind that this Bible is the very words of God. And so we see the prayer of the psalmist there. He had a desire to exercise the power of God's word. Can I say there's still power in this book this evening? After all these years, these 66 authors that have written that God used to give us the Bible today and the power that you can see that took place down through the times and even in past time in our lifetime, we've seen the Bible preached and people come to the saving knowledge of the truth that they're lost, that they need a Savior. And I'm glad that there's power in God's Word this evening. And we need to exercise the power in God's Word in our lives that we might be and accomplish what God desires for us to accomplish. I mean, when sinners come into the house of God, hey, we need to exercise the power of God's Word. Hey, that's where it is. It ain't in what we can do, but it's in what God can do through His Word. And even in our lives, we can use the Word of God and the power of God's Word to overcome the enemy that's out there. He says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Hey, when the enemies of God come at us and we can respond rightly with the word of God, I'm going to tell you, there's power in the word of God to shut the mouths of lions. Even today, if we just get to the realization that we need to get this Bible in our hearts, in our mind, and in our lives, that we can respond rightfully and exercise the power of God's word to those that try to show contempt and mockery for God's word. Not only we see the prayer of the psalmist, but number two, hey, we see the promises of the psalmist. We see the promises of the psalmist there in verses 43 through 46. First, we see that the psalmist expressed the proof of God's word. The promises of the psalmist is expressed the proof of God's word. He said, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." We find here the psalmist, he wanted nothing in his life or circumstances that would give his enemies the upper hand against him. I mean, the world looks at the present. They don't look and see the big picture in a person's life. Hey, they don't realize the things that Asaph over there, he said he looked at the prosperity of the wicked and his foot might nigh slip. I mean, a lot of people look at our lives and they wonder, hey, what are you getting out of this? I mean, you're going to church, you're sacrificing your time, hey, you're giving back to God, and what are you getting in return? What are you getting for that in return? Hey, they don't see the big picture. They don't see what's going on in their lives. And the psalmist, he wanted to express the proof of God's word. Hey, what was going on that God was doing for him. Hey, his enemies couldn't see that. And they couldn't see what the end was out there. But he was looking at the long term of serving God and the goodness of God, the mercy of God. Hey, the grace of God that was being shown to him. And he wanted to express the proof of God's word, what God was and what God can and what God is going to do in our lives. And then he wanted to explain the permanence of God's word. He wanted to explain the permanence of God's word. He says, so, verse 44, he says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Delays and setbacks were not going to undermine the psalmist's faith. And a lot of times we allow delays and setbacks in what we want to see, hey, to undermine our faith a lot of times in what we're believing, what we're trusting, what we're looking to in the Word of God. He would bring his life into line with eternal things, not just temporary advantages. He would link himself up to the permanence of God's Word. Hey, I'm glad of the promises that we have in the Word of God that we can bank on. Paul said not to lay up treasures here on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. Hey, we're not looking at what we can get here. Hey, but we're looking at the eternal fact of what we're going to get out yonder at the end of this life. And this world knows nothing about that. I mean, this is all they have. Just as Asaph said there, he said he looked at their prosperity of the wicked, and his foot might not slip. Hey, but they said, then he went into the sanctuary, and he realized their end. Hey, there's a lot of people thinks they've got it made today. Hey, they think they're enjoying life to the fullest. Hey, but yet this is all they have. Hey, they think we're foolish for trusting in the Word of God, in the promises that God has given you and I. But I'm glad and thankful for the permanence of God's Word. When this world is on fire, when this world is failing, I'm glad that God's Word will stand true in the time that we're living in. Not only we see to explain the permanence of God's Word, but explore the path of God's Word there in verse 45. He said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Most people would not describe walking according to God's law the way the psalmist did. They would describe the life of faith as bondage rather than liberty. The psalmist here, he saw God's law as the perfect law of liberty, and it didn't mean he couldn't do whatever he wanted. It meant he could do whatever God willed in his life. And that, he said, is true freedom. And so we see that he wanted to explore the path of God's Word. He talked about the liberty that he could walk in. And, you know, it's liberty not to do as we please, not to do what we want to do, hey, but to do what gives us the ability to do what God wants for our lives. And when we get to that point in place in our lives where we want to please Him and we want to use our liberty, hey, that we can walk with God, hey, that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, then we're getting hold of what real liberty is. Liberty to serve Him in the Spirit and in the truth. Our liberty to do what He's called us to do in this world. There's a lot of people that think Christianity is just bondage. Hey, there's a lot of independent Baptists, and we had some friends that come by the house the other night, and she mentioned this about the recovering fundamentalists. It's these people that used to be, they felt like they was in bondage of the preaching of the Word of God, and that they couldn't just do what they wanted to, hey, because God's requirements in their life. And when they finally saw the light and they come out from under that, they think they're recovering fundamentalists. They're not in that bondage anymore. They use the liberty, hey, that God has given us to serve Him. They're using that as a license and a legality to do what they please instead of wanting to please God in their lives. And there is a group that's called that the recovering fundamentalists. Hey, they've come out from under that teaching and the standards of what the Bible teaches. I mean, it's important that if we've been saved by the grace of God, hey, we have liberty. We're not under the bondage of the law anymore, hey, but we're under the liberty of Christ that we can accomplish and live our lives with the realization that we can be free in Christ Jesus and not be under bondage of the do's and the don'ts and the things like that. We do it out of a heart of love because we love the Lord and because He's changed our lives. And we want to please Him. So we see the promises of the psalmist to express the proof of God's Word, to explain the permanence of God's Word, to explore the path of God's Word, and then to explain the principles of God's Word. There in verse 46, he said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Now, a lot of times we're ashamed to speak up. You look in the Bible, but Paul did that. I mean, he spoke before kings. Jesus spoke before kings. Joseph and Daniel, they all did that. They had the ability and they had the opportunity, and they used that opportunity to speak for their God. Hey, we have nothing to be ashamed of in God's Word. Hey, it stood the test of times this evening. I'm glad, hey, that we've got the ability and that we can explain the principles of God's Word. Hey, that we can stand up. It don't matter who it is. Hey, we ought to be able to speak forth with boldness the Word of God and tell others about Jesus. What opportunity do we have today? I mean, we've got all this technology that they haven't had in the past time. Every word that Daniel there in the kingdom of Babylon there, how God used him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how God used them for a testimony to those pagan people. And then also Paul, you know, he got to speak to King Agrippa. And he witnessed to him, and he told him about Christ. And King Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He got to speak to Felix the governor. He was in places with people of power there. And Paul was never ashamed. He spoke up and he said, let me tell you what happened to me on the road to Damascus. Hey, Jesus changed my life. He said, I was going in this one way. I was thinking I was doing God justice and doing things for God. Hey, but something happened to me. I met the man Jesus on the road to Damascus there, and he totally changed my life. Hey, we ought to be able to speak up and explain the principles of God's Word. Hey, what God did for us, where He brought us from, and where He's carrying us to one of these days. So we see the promises of the psalmist. And then, number three, and lastly, we see the praise of the psalmist there in verses 47 to 48. He said, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Hey, did you catch that phrase there? I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Do you love the Word of God this evening? Hey, is this Word precious to you in your life? Hey, do you love to just get in it and flip through the pages and read through the Psalms, read through the Proverbs, hey, to read the epistles of Paul? Hey, it ought to delight us, hey, to be able to read the Word of God. I was listening to a young man preach on Sunday night over at Brother Ken's, and he was talking about when he first got saved, he did not like to read. I mean, he didn't like to read, and he couldn't hardly read. And I've heard of other people and preachers that couldn't even read, and others would have to read the Word of God to them. Hey, but they began to dig in, and they began to read and study the Word of God, and they fell in love with this book. I'm going to tell you, this Bible will change your life. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your steps. It'll change your direction. Hey, when we get in this Bible, if we'll read it, hey, with the kind of mind and heart that we should, and it'll give us the direction that we need for our life. See, the praise of the Son. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statute. So we see the praise of the psalmist. We see, number one, he was to enjoy the pleasures of God's Word. The praise of the psalmist, he was praising because he could enjoy the pleasures of God's Word. He said, I will delight myself in thy commandment. How many times have you read the Bible this week? Do you delight yourself in the Word of God? It's important that you read the Bible. And if you can, read it every day. And I know there's some times that hindrances come up and you might miss a day. Hey, but if you've never read your Bible through this evening, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you've never read your Bible through and you've been saved for 10, 15, or 20 years, shame on you. Shame on you. You ought to read your Bible through. And if you haven't, you need to get a program, hey, that you can read your Bible through. It's amazing. You get through some of those hard, you'll come to some of those passages that they're hard to read through. I believe it's 2 Chronicles, some of those with all those names of those peoples and them individuals that you think, I'll never get through this. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing if you just read the Word of God and then you can say, I've read my Bible through. And then start over and read it again. Read it again. Enjoy the pleasures of God's Word. He said, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I've loved. Not many people find any joy and pleasure in studying and reading the Bible. Hey, the wisest man that ever lived said over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, said, much study is a weariness of the flesh. You want to find something that's weary sometimes, hey, just get in. Not just read the Bible, but begin to study the Bible. And it's important that we know what we believe. I mean, you're going to come in contact with some individuals sometimes that's going to challenge your faith. Hey, they're going to challenge your Bible. They're going to challenge what you believe. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a pretty thing to get in a confrontation with somebody and you don't know what to say. When all you say, well, as I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Well, why are you saved and why are you going to heaven? You ought to be able to give some reasons why you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Why that you believe that the way that you're going is the right way. Hey, I believe we ought to know why we're Baptists and why we believe what we believe. Enjoy the pleasures of God's Word. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, listen to this, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's the first statement in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, we'll never know everything. The more I read and the more I study, the less I realize that I know. And a lot of times you get into a confrontation and you'll think of what you could have said if you'd have been on your toes, if you'd have been prayed up and ready for that attack or that confrontation or that discussion. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto man, hey, but unto God. I mean, I think God is proud of us when we are able to answer people according to His divine Word. The Bible tells us that God has exalted His Word even above His name. Did you know that? I mean, that means that the Word of God is really important. Study to show thyself approved unto God, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Well, not to be ashamed, you know. You get through talking to somebody, and I've been ashamed a lot of times. I still get ashamed sometimes. But he said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And if we study and we fill our mind with the Word of God and our heart with the Word of God, then when we get into to being able to witness to some, I said a confrontation, but if you get a chance to witness to someone, then the Holy Spirit can bring things out of your mind, out of your heart that you've stored there, hey, that you've studied, that you've things that you've got nailed down, that you can bring those things forth. And you can just, it'd be sort of like a Gatling gun sometimes when it starts coming. You won't even think, well, where did in the world did that come? I've been amazed sometimes at the things that come out of my little small mind. Of things that I studied that hadn't even thought about for a long time. And the opportunity come up and the Lord brought it back to my memory. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Here's the key, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to rightly divide this Bible. Did you know you can take a passage and make it mean what you want it to mean? But he said rightly dividing the word of truth. And it's important that we get a hold of the truths of the Word of God and we rightly divide this book. Not to try to fit our conversation at the moment, hey, but to give out the truth because there's power in this Bible that we've already mentioned. Hey, this Bible says, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the mire, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of the heart. That Bible, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. And when we get to that point in place, hey, where we've studied and where we've wearied our flesh sometimes, and it seems like we're just not getting anything, hey, you don't really realize what's there. Your mind is like a computer. It's better than a computer. If we use it in the right way. Paul said over there in one place said, in Galatians, said the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hey, this Bible can make you wise unto salvation. It'll show you the error of your way. The praise of the psalmist was enjoy the pleasures of God's word. And then lastly, examine the potential of God's word there in verse 48. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thee, unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Over in the book of Joshua, that word meditate there. Joshua, that's one verse I've never been able to memorize correctly. I can quote parts of it. But Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hey, you want a prosperous way and have good success? Hey, meditate upon the word of God, upon the law of God. The psalmist here, hands are upraised, reaching up to grasp God's law. Hey, that's what the law was intended to do, to make us reach up. It expresses God's holiness. Its standards are those of perfection. Hey, God doesn't lower His standards. He doesn't compromise with sin. He doesn't accommodate Himself to our low level of behavior. He makes us reach up. He makes us lift up our hands to His commandment. And that means we have to lift up our hearts as well. But with all the will in the world, with our reaching up, we still can't reach up high enough. And that's why He has reached down. That's why He's reached down. He knows that we can't attain to the perfection of the law. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to be the fulfillment of the law. But it don't relieve us of the obligation and responsibility of reaching up and trying to reach that point in place of perfection, but allow Him to bring us to that place of perfection through Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Word of God this evening. Light from God's Word. I'm glad there's plenty of light in this Bible if we're reading. I'm glad if we'll get in here and study this Bible. This is the greatest book that's ever been written. It's got the answer to every problem that you might have. Hey, this Bible, if we could decipher it all, hey, it's got the answer probably in there to when Jesus is coming back. No, Bible said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour, but I promise you the answer to when Jesus is coming back is found somewhere in this Bible. And it's like a gold mine. We just need to mine it and try to get the nuggets that God gives us and study it and apply it to our lives. Someone said, Brother Sammy, he said, it's not things I don't understand that bothers me. It's them things that I do understand that bothers me. Hey, we've got a perfect book. We've got a great Bible that'll help us get through life if we'll just listen to it and allow it to dissect our heart and to bring us to that point and place in our lives where God wants us to be.